welcome to this awesome episode in the Knoxville First Church podcast. My name's Jason Scott. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so thankful you have joined us today. I believe you've made a great choice, so buckle up, get ready, and let's grow together.
Thank you for being here today. If you're happy to be here with us, say, I am. Yes, I am happy too. Hey, Friday night, 16 of us men went together and we went bowling, and it was a great time. We're going to be trying to organize and plan some men gatherings and events each month. At some point, the women, they also are planning some things, and they have their cup ministry that they do the third Sunday of every month, where we're helping women grow in their faith. But just know that we want all of you all to connect to each other, connect to God's word, and connect to our family. Hey, if you brought kids and they're with you today, outside the door to your left is a coloring page and some pencils and stuff that we plan for them to have. So if they need to run and get them now, it's fine with me. It's not going to distract me or anything. So those are out there for everyone. I want to ask this question. Okay, let me preface before I start this message. Whether you're married or not, been married or not, plan to be married or not, wherever you're at, there is something for you to learn from in this scripture, okay? And as soon as I started reading this, I kind of felt like there was tension in the room. It's like, why does he have to go to 1 Peter 3? Well, see, this is the glory of preaching through a book of the Bible. Like, we're going to go 1 Peter all the way to the end. We're in week 5 and we're only in chapter 3. And guess what? I don't get permission to just jump over the hard parts to preach. We get to all learn together and grow together. Husbands and wives, children, all of us. Last week's wasn't easy. It was a tough message. This week, we're hearing Peter speak directly to husbands and wives. I want to ask this question to all of us in the room, those of us who are married. I want to ask you this question. Are you proud of your marriage? Are you proud of it? Is your marriage one that you would want others to emulate? Ones that you would say, I'm an open book. Ask me any questions. This is who I am. This is who we are. This is how we operate. This is how our marriage functions. And you would want others to look at your marriage and be like you. Think about that question for a second. Some of us, hard necks right here, right off the bat. Boom, right here. Just like all about, yes, I am. Others sit there, you know. Some of us may doing the hard neck, yes, but internally going, okay, if I do this, everybody behind me sees that I'm doing it. You know, whatever the case is, like, it's a question that really takes some praying over. Amen? I also want you to know that my belief is that marriages are the devil's number one target. He wants you to dislike your wife. He wants you to hold a grudge against her. He wants you to wish your husband could do better or make more money or whatever the case is. The devil wants you to not be content with your spouse. If he can make you discontent, the devil wins. He wants to take, I believe the devil's number one attack is marriages, y'all. And Peter points at us and says, those of us who are married, wives and husbands, this is how this thing called marriage can function if we want to have healthy, long-term marriages. But here's another thing I want you to know. What we're going to learn about today and what Peter talks about is in stark contrast to what we learn in our culture today about marriage. Okay? What this is going to tell us, and what you can read in Ephesians chapter 5 also about marriages, is completely different than what the world wants you to think about the union of marriage that you stepped into. Some of us many years ago, some of us, you know, for me and my wife, we're 15 years in, praise God. And I'm happy about that. And I want 15, 20, 30 more, however many it takes. You know, I want us to continue to grow together. Some of you are going to be hoping to be married one day. And that's where we can all grow together in understanding that marriages have power, so much so that the devil would like to take every single one of them out. Amen? So lean in a little bit. Don't get like tight, women and men in the room. Don't get upset with what you're about to hear. Don't get defensive. Instead, let's actually lean in to this message. The context of this message is that Peter was writing this in AD, which means after the death of Jesus. Okay, he's resurrected, he's gone to heaven, okay? And it was written from Rome to persecuted Christians, okay? They were under the persecution of a king named Nero, who was really, really out to get all of them and kill them and blaming all bad stuff on Christians today. In this time, okay, and this is why I want you to understand the context of this scripture. In this time, men had ultimate power and responsibility over wives and children, all right? Men had 100% ultimate power. That's how it was. Under Roman law, the husband and father had absolute authority over all members of his household. And in this scripture, Peter, when it first starts off, speaks to wives, okay? So we're going to look here and what he says to wives right off the bat. It says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. The NIV says submit, all right? I read often from the NLT, New Living Translation, and it says, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lies will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent heart. Let me tell you a little bit more about this scripture. This scripture really is pertaining to and directed at wives with unsaved husbands. Okay? Wives whose husbands are still lost. That's what Peter is talking about at this time. That he's saying, hey, women, listen. You who have unsaved husbands, I know the persecution is coming hard. I know it's coming at you. I know it's getting tough. But instead of preaching at your husbands, live a godly life. That's what he's trying to say here. Instead of preaching at them, live a godly life. Now, some of you women in the room might be sitting there right now going, yes, I don't have to listen today because my husband's saved, right? He's got it. Like he's, you know, I know he knows the Lord. And so this isn't for me. It's for that one back there that I know her husband's not saved, right? Like, you know, don't go there. Because whether this is the case, even though in the context, we can all learn from this scripture and it will help us in the future. All right. Here's what Peter's saying. And this is what we all know to be true. And what Peter's been saying all the way through 1 Peter so far, that a changed life speaks loudly. A changed life speaks loudly. That's the number one thing he's trying to say. And he starts off by talking to women, but it applies to us men too. A changed life, one that has been transformed by the life-saving power of Jesus Christ, professing your faith in him, experiencing this new being that you have become from old to new. That's what the scripture says, from old to new. That new life speaks loudly. Many of us in the room know that. We've seen friends, right, that have experienced Christ. And you're like, wow, that friend is different. And then you came to know Christ. And then somebody else did. Because a changed life speaks loudly. See, Peter, all throughout this, he's speaking evangelistically to us. He's saying to wives right now, hey, listen, stop preaching and start living out a holy life. Stop talking about it and be about it. Right? Some of us need to hear that today. Men and women, stop talking about your faith in Jesus and act like you truly know him. That's what Peter is trying to say in this moment. This is again, like we talked about last week, this is again talking to us about submission to the mission. What is the mission? For others to come to know Jesus, right? So the way we live, and he's speaking to women right now, is to point people to Jesus. Peter is clearly saying to women, Women, listen, Peter is clearly saying to women, your purity and your reverence honors God and points others to him. Your purity and your reverence. Not your purity and your rightness. You're always right. You know what's right. You tell everybody else what's right. No, your purity and your reverence, this attitude of purity and reverence points others to him. Now listen, here's where it starts talking to women even more so. It says this, don't be concerned. Lean in, please. Listen to me. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Verse 4. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty. Anybody want some of that? Come on. Anybody want some of that? Unfading beauty. Men and women, I want some unfading beauty. Right? The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Peter is saying, be more concerned with your heart than your hair. A man with little, just like me. That's awesome, Dan. I like when you guys talk back to me like that. That's terrific. Amen. Be more concerned with your heart than your hair. All of the other stuff, he says, will fade away. We should be more concerned with our heart than our hair. We will all wrinkle up, men and women. We are all going to wrinkle up. Now you can say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. We all wrinkle up, right? So, listen, this was the aha thing that God wanted me to say to you guys today with this portion of scripture, and I made it big up there. No matter how much work you have done to the outside, it will never hide the work you haven't done on the inside. Let me say that again. No matter how much work you have done to the outside, I don't care about the lipo and up whatever, bows. No matter how much of this stuff you work on out here, the outward appearance, it will never hide the work you haven't done on the inside of your heart. So stop worrying about the things that don't matter. The most attractive thing to a man is not what your hair looks like, but what your heart looks like. I'm telling you. So let's stop caring so much about all of this and start caring about what's in here. Peter says, listen, no matter how much you have done on the outside, it will never hide the work you haven't done on the inside. And he says it like this. And women, listen, this is for you. This is talking to wives. It says, the unfading beauty of what? A gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious to God. Your gentle and quiet spirit, that love of a mother that a man can't give, right? That gentleness that only comes from you. That gentleness and that comfort and that care. It says this is precious to God. That quiet spirit is precious to God. So ladies, as you write that down, how are we doing on a scale of 1 to 10? And please don't yell out your number or tell somebody else. Like, how are we with our gentleness and our quiet spirit? Because that is the unfading beauty that's precious to God. How powerful is this to remind us who we're to be? Verse 5 says, it goes on, it says, I love this part. It says, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. How many else love it? How many of us love it when you can get an example to look to, right? He points at the holy women of old, right? Not the popular women of new. Not the TikTok lady or the Instagram woman. He says, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. First thing is what? Trust in God, amen? Not trust in anything else. And they accepted the authority of their husbands. I wrote this down, that we live in a world that looks to celebrities instead of holy women. We're looking to the news instead of the good news. Like, we have to stop looking in the places that the enemy wants us to destroy what you have together in union, that holy marriage. Peter is saying, don't follow the patterns of the world. Look to the holy women of the old. And can I tell you something? There's so many of you in this room that when I read that, I think about. I was in my Bible study on Wednesday, and I looked at the three ladies that were in the room, and I said, when I read this scripture, I think of you all. And sadly, many of us in the room don't think of ourselves, women, when we look at that. Well, you're going, well, because I'm not old. Well, it doesn't matter the age. I'm talking about the holy part. So are we an example for others to look at? When I talked about our marriage at the beginning, is it one in which we would want others to emulate? Because our life is an evangelistic tool to help people come to know Jesus. And this is what he's saying here. The amount of celebrities that we see getting divorces is crazy. Yet we look to them, read about them, talk about them, post about them, follow them. Amen? When this is saying, look to the holy women of old in which they trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. It blows my mind how many people know all about the Kardashians and knows nothing about Philippians. I mean, for real, you might, and name a different celebrity. I've never watched that show one time, but we have a world filling themselves with that type of nonsense and setting our standards on that instead of that which the Word calls us to set our standard on. I mean, come on. Listen, you have to recognize this, and this is what he's saying here. Your role models shape you. Your role models shape you. We tell this to our kids, but we don't live it out as adults, right? You want your kids to be around other kids that make good decisions, that live holy lives, not ones that are the coolest and the funnest. And I mean, like you guard your kids from that, but often we don't guard ourselves from that as adults. Your role models shape you. So we have to pick them wisely. Amen? The holy women of old. And then we want to be a role model that other women should follow. Right? Someone that you can say, yes, I have lived my life in a way that I want others to follow me. Peter says, holy women were beautiful because they put their trust in the Lord and they accepted the authority of their husbands. And let me just tell you something. And I know, ladies, listen, men are sitting back with their arms crossed going, you listen up, right? I hope you're listening to him. You're next, okay? We're next. We're going to speak to the husbands next, all right? But let me just tell you this. When I hear women say things like, I don't care what my husband says, I do what I want. She's not my boss, right? Or he's not my boss. When I hear women say that and act like that's something to celebrate and be proud of, it's not. It's not. It's disrespectful. And you would not want your husband saying that about you. Amen? And so we can't live in that manner. Okay? If the women you hang with say that type of thing, find new women to hang with. Come on. Don't hang out with women who act like no man ever can tell me what to do because I'm a strong woman. Well, if you are in a marriage, in a union, there is scripture that talks about submission. And that's what we're talking about, accepting the authority. So we have to get our hearts right, y'all. We have to recognize how the Word tells us to live and have a successful marriage. And so don't buy into that worldly idea. We should love and submit to each other because a living relationship with God requires a right relationship with others. Let me say that again. If you have a living relationship with God, it requires a right relationship with others. You can't be living wrongly in relationship, and this is talking about your spouse. You can't live wrong with her and act like you have a living relationship with Jesus. You understand? This is deep, this is strong, but we have to understand these things. God doesn't want you treating anyone like that. Nevertheless, your wife or your husband, your spouse. In verse 6, it goes on. And it says, for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. He's talking again to, you know, you continue to do what is right, even though your unsaved husband might do what is wrong. Don't fear it. You just keep living right, right? And that points us back to just because things might happen around us that don't look right doesn't mean we don't live right. You're responsible for your actions, and you keep on living holy. She's talking to women. Now, men, everybody say, yes, sir. I just want to make sure you're awake. Men in the room, here we go. Men in the room. You thought you were off the hook today. But right off the bat, this scripture says, in the same way, comma. And I thought to myself for a second, this is how the Lord speaks to me. I thought to myself, let's just skip over that in the same way, comma. But actually, when I read that, the Lord just started revealing to me to not skip over those four words, in the same way. When I read this week, I first glanced it over, but then I started realizing that everything I just said to women also applies to us, that your looks will fade away. Your role models do matter. And we too, as men, should submit our life to the Lord. So we can't just skip past that. We have to understand that. It goes on to say, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Honor. I think honor often is harder than submission. Right? Honor your wife. How would I do that? And why would I if I'm also over her? Like this says I'm supposed to have, she's supposed to accept my authority. Why? Honor and authority go together? Like honor and submission? Like how does this all work? What does that even mean? I think, you know, honoring your spouse means there's not a second of your day that you say something negative about her to somebody else to dishonor her. There's not a second of your day that you're not going out of the way, man, and saying, how can I make sure my wife knows that I love her more than any other man in this world? How can I go out of my way to make sure she doesn't feel ran down by all she has to do? Even though I've got stuff too, but I make sure that she feels honored. Who remembers Dayton back in the day, right? You honored that girl. You opened that door. You paid for the movie. You went out. You did things that you don't do now. Boy, it's quiet. We have to honor our spouse. We have to tell her that we love her and do everything we can. Honoring means listening sometimes, all the time. Carol said amen that time. Honor. Write down the word honor. Guys, screenshot that word honor, and you start thinking about what that word means to you and whether you're doing that for your wife. Honor. Does your wife feel honored by you? Honor. That's huge. Honor. Then it says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. There's two words there. Understanding, three words. Understanding and live together. So we're to honor our wives, and then we're to treat our wife with understanding as you live together. Understanding. Understanding. Men in the house, raise your hand if you fully understand your wife. That's what I thought. Me too. I tell Ashby this. I've told him this as he's 13 and he's growing up and there's girls around him and stuff. I tell him that you will never fully understand women. There's no possible way. You will never, ever fully understand women But I think, listen, I wrote this down. I think understanding women is understanding that you will fully never really understand women and being okay with that. Right? Like understanding women is, no, you'll never fully understand them, but being okay with that, not okay with it. When we're not okay with it, that's when issues come into the house. Amen? Like when you try to fit your wife's unique mind and thinking into your little man mind, that's when things get tough. But we have to learn to understand our wives. We have to learn to live together with our wives. Listen, guys, understanding is developed by communication and time spent together. Understanding is developed by communication and time spent together. And he says it here, understand and live together. Okay? When you think about living together, that doesn't mean you're roommates and you don't ever see each other, you don't talk each other, you don't, you know, you pass by at the door. It's talking about living. What is living? Living is a lot, right? Living is a whole lot. And I believe that Peter is saying to the men, listen, understand, seek to understand, care for your wife, and be present. Can I say that again? Some men need to hear this. Be present. Live together. You will not understand your spouse if you're not with your spouse. Amen? You have to say, I'm going to honor my spouse by making sure that I sacrifice what I want to take care of what God has blessed me with, men. That's what we have to be. Your job is important, but your job is not more important than honoring your spouse and spending time together, communicating, et cetera, et cetera. We have to get this right because the world wants you to stay busy and lose what is the best thing God's ever given you. It wants you to not live together, to not communicate, to not understand. The world wants you to run for all the popularity and everything else. And Peter is saying, men, seek to understand your spouse and live with her. Be together. Seek out more. Honor her. Care for her. To me, this here is harder than the authority that the wife needs to understand in the submission part. This is not easy. And if you look in Ephesians, they always are calling the man into leadership, but also into submission to God. Right? And I was thinking about it like this. In every organization you walk into, somebody has to be in charge, right? But everybody in a healthy organization helps guide the direction. Your teammates. You collaborate, you do things together, you talk it out, you understand, you honor each other. That's the same way it's supposed to work in marriage. Somebody's got to be the main decision maker. But all of us have a part in it. It goes on to say, look here. So she may be weaker than you. Now in this time, they're not talking about spiritually weaker, intellectually. They're talking about physically. He's saying, she might be weaker than you. Now, in some of our marriages, that might not be the case. You know, some women may be stronger than the men. You know, whatever. That's why I'm trying to get in the gym, right? Like, so I can be strong. She may be weaker than you, but she... Now, listen. Put this up there, Robbie. Will you put this up there? The third scripture that I referenced. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your... Read that word with me. Equal partner in God's gift of what? New life. So that new life that you're experiencing in Christ, if you call yourself a believer, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, that new life makes that partner of yours equal. And we are to be different than the world. We are to live this thing out together, unified as one. Honoring each other, understanding each other, caring for each other, spending time together. And then this is where it gets big. Men, lean in. See, women, I told you I was going to get them. Look what it says at the end. Treat her as you should, hold my hand. Watch this. Oh, go back. I was going to read that. Back to the scripture. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. He like gives us a warning. He says, you better treat your wife like you should, or your prayers might go unanswered. Guys, listen. The way you treat your wife directly affects your relationship with Jesus. That's what this is saying. Why would that be? Why would that be? Why would the way I treat my wife affect my relationship with Jesus? Here is why. Listen, because people are God's priority and your wife is a person. She's a child of God, made uniquely for each one of you. People are God's priority and your wife's a person. And that's why he says at the end of that scripture, listen, treat her right or your prayers may be hindered. Guys, anybody else a little bit convicted? Come on, right? The way I treat my wife affects my relationship with Jesus? Yes, it sure does. This requires humility, men. Told you this was going to be a heavy sermon today. The women learned a lot. The men learned a lot. We all learned a lot. Whether you're married or not, whether you're going to be married, this is good stuff for us to know. It'd have been real easy for me to jump from 1 Peter 3 all the way down to 8. I called my buddy who's a pastor and I said, have you ever preached this sermon before? And he said, let me see. No, I jumped to 8. Yeah, because it's hard to hear. It's hard to live out. But we need to know this stuff, guys. Women, it's heavy, amen? Men, it's a lot, isn't it? Amen? Ultimately, here's what all of this is about. It's about submission for the mission of a healthy marriage worth sharing. I don't mean invite others into your marriage. That's not what I mean. Okay, I mean, this is all about submission to each other, equal partners, understanding the dynamics of a healthy marriage, not looking to the world to tell you how to do it, but to the Word. Amen. Submission for the mission of a healthy marriage, one that we want our kids to go, Mom, Dad, I'm so thankful for how y'all treat each other. Right? I'm so thankful that you're handing a legacy to me of what a healthy marriage should look like. Amen. I'm so glad that you've taught me how to love a woman by the way you love my mom. This is about submission for the mission of a healthy marriage worth sharing, worth other people going, that is what I strive to be. But it takes right off the bat. It's all about the first word. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. That's the first word. 1, 2, 3. It requires submission. And we can do it. So here's what I want to do today to end this as they sing. Men, with the authority given to you, I want you to grab your family tight. And I want you to pray over them right now.
Thank you for joining us here at the Knoxville First Church Podcast. We loved having you, and we hope you will come back next week for another great teaching. I would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 6708 Westland Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you would like to contribute and give to this ministry, go to www.knoxfirstchurch.com/give. See you next week.